Hello and welcome to Techlandia. Techlandia is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network. Podcasts for educators, podcast by educators. For more great content, please visit edupodcastnetwork.com. That's edupodcastnetwork.com. Hello and welcome to Grumpy Old Teachers. I'm your host, John Samuelson, without the H. You know what I found out? I'm in Portland, Oregon. By the way, today we had a snow day. Snow day.
Do they have that in Portland?
Snow day. I didn't do anything. Yeah, bad for you, California. Yeah.
We had a dry day. It was a dry day.
Wait.
There was no moisture in the air. It was awesome.
That's right. We need to send you some of our precipitation. I am in Portland, Oregon, where it has snowed. My car almost started rolling down a hill like one of those videos, so I quickly slammed on the emergency brakes and bumped it up against the curb. That's because I'm on a hill, and I must be at least 10 feet above sea level.
John, wait. Did you say you're over the hill?
I'm definitely over the hill. Okay, now I'd like to kick it down to the hostess with the mostest, and his name is...
Brian Briggs.
Oh, I didn't know you wanted a drum roll on that one. Sorry, I'm late with the sound effects. Tim Bedley.
Yeah, Tim Bedley, whatever you want to call me.
Okay.
Just call me late for dinner.
Oh, geez. We're going to go with that, huh? Well, it's Scott Bedley. It's actually just Scott Bedley, not Brian Briggs. Not Tim Bedley, but Scott Bedley. The younger, more out of shape, less handsome of the Bedley brothers.
What? Who said I was less handsome, dude?
That's okay. Oh, okay. I know there are fighting words there.
Tim's much more handsome, but who said that? I'm after them.
No, it wasn't me. I think you're always very handsome and charming and dashing.
Well, thank you, John.
I kind of refer to you as they refer to George Costanza on Seinfeld. You know what I'm saying? I said, who's saying that Scott is stocky? He's not stocky. Anyway, so how are you doing?
Well, now I'm depressed.
Okay, I'm sorry. You know I'm just
now
kidding.
I can't eat this holiday. Thanks a lot.
That's right. Yeah, there you go. Sorry. You know what I was thinking?
Can you be stocky and be like 5'11"? Oh, that's like 5'4",
no,
guys.
No, I just was watching a lot of I love the Seinfeld where it was the one where they keep describing each other and they're like, he kind of looks like a tall doofus with, they're all described, they describe Jerry as like a horse face. They all like describe each other in just like the worst, most negative terms. It was just, I always
George
just thought
that was
funny.
George did pull in Marissa Tomei.
That's right. He was trying. So I was looking up today, because I had nothing to do since it was a snow day. I did do a webinar, though, but I'll get to that later. But I saw that there UConn, and not to talk basketball, but I'm going to talk women's college basketball for a second. UConn and Notre Dame played, and UConn was like, I don't think they were supposed to win, and their streak was supposed to probably be snapped. They've won like literally 750 games in a row. But one of their...
dating back to 1984.
Right. And one of their star new players is a girl from California in your neck of the woods, and her name's Katie Samuelson, which is my sister, and her parents are, one of their parents, John Samuelson, spelled without the H.
No
just
way.
Like me. And so I looked, so then I clicked it to see what it was on Wikipedia, and then like a search came up, and then there was my Twitter feed. I was like, I want to see what other John Samuelson looks like.
Wow, you're going to have a bunch of college basketball teams following your Twitter feed.
I know. I need to figure out how to work this angle so I can get more followers.
We're no longer going to have Ann Jenks listening to the show.
I know. I need to work this so I can get more followers because that's what it's all about. How many Twitter followers you have is super important.
How many do you pay for?
How many are you going to pay for? I don't know. So anyway, I still say that my rant from the last episode on social media and Instagram feed and the metrics, I still say it's killing my Instagram. It's killing it's killing independent John. It's killing Instagram John. So anyway,
I'm excited for Instagram John.
And speaking of Instagram, I did hear it mentioned in a movie trailer that I saw, and I am super excited. This will tell you a little bit about my movie persona. And we know that Scott doesn't go and see movies and knows nothing about the website Perez Hilton or celebrity gossip. And you could name a celebrity to save your life. But
Tom Cruise.
Train Spotting 2 is looking pretty sweet.
No way. Is that with Ian McGregor?
With Ewan McGregor. There you go.
I called him Ian McGregor.
You did call me McGregor. I tried to save you, but...
Thank you. You don't need to save me. I'm not.
Okay. So,
you know who does need to save me, John?
Mr. Technology. Does he need to save you?
Yeah.
He needs to save you. If you need anything 3D printed, I feel like he's going through a severe 3D printing obsession. Like he's borderline obsessed with cars and 3D printing right now. That's what I think he's obsessed with.
Hey, there's Marty Moose.
I know. I love it when people yell and scream in the background of the podcast, and then walk through. It's not even anything that distracts me at all.
That's what makes this podcast so
refreshing. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
I think it hit the wrong sound effect for me on that one. So, hey, I did tweet this out, and we do have zero viewers, so that's always good.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show, zero viewers.
Is that their Twitter handle?
That should be our new Twitter handle. Well, so anyway, here's one. I released the hour. Let's talk a little Hour of Code. We might as well, right? I'll put this up tonight. So Hour of Code week is this week. We've obviously lost a day now in the Beaverton School District with our snow day, which is my board of the podcast, I think. But you kind of encouraged me to tweet out links to the show. Like what, I don't know if you were encouraging me, but I took it that way. And I was like, right, why do I always just tweet out the show one time or twice and then never tweet it out again? So I took the Sam Patterson Beyond the Hour of Code, since he wrote that book, and that was a recent podcast. So I tweeted it out because I thought it was kind of timely or whatever. We got a comment back on the Podomatic feed. Did I tell you about this?
No, John. What was it?
Did I really not tell you about it?
No, you totally told me.
Okay. So she goes, I'm 17 minutes into the podcast and I haven't heard one thing yet because we really goofed around in that episode. But to her credit, and I think her name was Mary, but to her credit, I want to tweet her. She stuck with it and then said it was actually, worth my while, but you got to cut those 17 minutes of stuff.
So she didn't do what I did and cut out after 16 minutes.
I feel like I'm going to now put a new thing and I'm just going to start it at 17 minutes for people that are a little bit, that have a tight schedule, a tight window like you do.
Yeah, listen, on my hour and a half commute home through Orange County traffic, I love the hour and a half shows, John.
Yeah. Thank you. It plays for some people. It plays for just maybe you and people in Los Angeles.
And Tim, who works out for 3 hours, it totally works for Tim.
It works for him. So I was on a webinar today with the Tinker app. And, it's not just the app, but the web, web-based. It's web-based, it's app-based or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I will promise I will put this episode up. The reason we're doing it at kind of a weird time. We usually do it at 1 in the morning.
Is this a weird time?
This is actually a normal time. But I'm going to Seattle, and we just wanted to make sure we were going with the every other week kind of thing. But, so Tinker is free this week for the Hour of Code Week, usually a $6 app. And it's the blue one, Tinker for Schools. So there's my first – that's almost a check this out kind of tip right there. So there you go. What do they do after they do Briggs and – Ryan, do they do anything like they gong it afterwards? There is your first tool. But the Tinker, and so I went out on the webinar, and there are a lot. So here's my first one, Scott. How do we sift through all the free resources that are out there for Hour of Code now? I feel like Hour of Code is totally something that is in teachers' minds now. They've done a great job of promoting it. Code.org has, but like Sam says, how do we go beyond? I mean, coding for an hour isn't going to do anything for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could go and practice the trombone for an hour, but I'm not going to be good at it. So we have to kind of build capacity a little bit. So there's tons of resources. But Scott, sometimes when I download these resources, it's a 163-page guide to get started. What? How many? The last two I seriously downloaded, like, curricula, 163 and 140-page PDFs. How do you get through all that? No, teachers aren't going to look at that then.
Nope.
What would you do as a classroom teacher, since I'm not a classroom teacher?
As far as making sure that the coding continues?
Yeah, like what do you do in your classroom? Because I know you're good at it. So what do you do to go beyond? You're not Sam Patterson, and you haven't written the book Beyond the Hour of Code, but I know you've gone beyond the hour of code without having written a book.
Well, I think it starts with just knowing a little bit more about your objective in it. So if your objective, John, is to have the kids creating and developing and going down that line, then you create a project around that. That was one of the reasons I created the TAS Fair, or TOS Fair, Technology Applied Science Fair, is to go beyond just the basics and have the kids start creating on their own. But, you know, there's cool things out there that you could do, like go to BitsBox and have the kids start to learn how to develop their own app. And it's not super incredibly difficult to do on your own as a teacher. But I think it's just providing the kids with more opportunity than just that hour by, you know, whether it's continuing on that or saying, okay, let's look at how we can go just a little bit further. I don't know.
It's interesting because I've really been seeing, I've been taking a lot of online, well, there's just a wealth of online, like, resources. Like, people are really getting behind it. I did a good webinar with Seesaw. They were just talking about design thinking. They weren't even talking. I mean, but it was in honor, and you were supposed to watch it with your classes. So I thought that was great. Of course, I don't have a class, so I just watched it by my lonesome. But it was interesting. It was good stuff.
People could go to the CS First dealio that Google provides. I did not find the videos that are provided on that very user-friendly, to be personal.
Okay.
Personally honest about.
I was like, are you going to get personal now afterwards?
To be personally honest about, just my opinion on that. I don't think it's something that you need to turn away from. I think it's just going into it, realizing it's not the most engaging teaching techniques or even delivery that's happening in those instructional videos. And sometimes they're not even really clear to me. At least the ones that we've done, that I was just like, oh, this is really a good effort. Good effort, Google.
Good effort.
I think it's cool that it's free, but if it doesn't really work very well for your class, it doesn't really help.
So I set up one of the I sent away for one of the kits. So I'm going to actually go kind of old school Techlandia a little bit in honor of us killing that show, but. I feel like I know some things now because I've been really looking at it, because I've been looking through how do I get through a 168-page PDF and make it digestible for teachers to actually, so it won't overwhelm them, so they can actually use it. I went to the CS First website for Google.
Gotcha.
I put in that I was going to, and I have every intention of doing this, but I just put in some fake dates right now. No offense, Google. I put in some fake dates for when I was going to do the clubs.
Right, the clubs.
Because you can send away for the kids. So the clubs, I have it right next to me here. I sent away for the first one, which was the easiest, which was storytelling. So I was like, okay, because they have cool different things to try and bring kids in. They have storytelling, they have sports, they have fashion, they have game design. There's all sorts of different kits that you can send away for, and you're supposed to run these clubs like twice a week for a half hour, 45 minutes or something, mm-hmm. and they're supposed to be after school. I don't think the first roadblock I've run into is busing for after school stuff.
Yeah.
We don't really have busing at our elementary school, so then it's not fair to everyone because only people that have parents that can pick them up can go then, right? So then that kind of runs in. So I think I'm going to have to probably do them as lunchtime clubs, which will work for me. That's fine with me. And then everybody at least has a chance. But when I opened up the box for the guide or whatever, it's pretty simple. I've actually got the book right here below my keyboard for storytelling. Right. But I thought it was interesting because I thought I was going to get something different. But everything kind of circles around to me, Scott, and comes back to, in elementary schools, which is where we work, scratch.
Right.
Everything comes back to scratch.
It does. John, and let me ask you awesome. This. When you looked at the instructor club leader's guide, I forget the name of it, do you look at that and say that's user-friendly for all teachers, or is that user-friendly for tech guy, hobbyist, likes tech, has their foot in the door at least? Because when I look at it, I see it as if you're not a tech enthusiast, if you're not, you know, tech gal, if you're not somebody who's like taking a shot at it, then it's going to be like, this is a lot more than I like want to take on.
right.
If somebody comes in and takes it on for me, good for them, but I don't know.
So here's the two things I would highly recommend. So number one, I think I found the guide is for me, because I've tried it out a little bit. It is kind of user friendly, I think, for what it is. I was like, okay, I think I can kind of replicate this thing. So here's the things that I would do before I sent away for the kid or whatever.
But not I you, would, John. Not John well, Tech Tosa, not
tech like Ninja John. Yeah, no, not for me. I'm really interested in it, but you know, the thing that you have to do is you really have to actually start using Scratch. Like, you have to get in there. So here's my three steps for you. So the three steps I think are easy if you would like to go get your kids coding, which is one of my pushes for the district. Number one, sign up for your Scratch Educator account, because they have it very easy to make classes now, which wasn't in place last year, and it just came in place late August this year. It's very easy to manage and have students create accounts now. So that's number one. Number two, my new favorite of all time website is this thing called Code Campus. Mm-hmm. And you go to codecampus.com/learn. You have to, or just go to codecampus.com, but click on that you're an educator. They have so many free resources, and it basically has an 8-module course as a teacher for you to kind of understand. So you, and they're about a half hour each. And you can create, I created some really cool games with it, but that's because I could go back in the video and stop it and pause it and look. And I had two windows open, and I was actually in my Scratch account using Scratch. And then I think after you've done that, did I say three steps? I think that those are the two steps. And I mean, then they have all sorts of other resources on that Code Campus. So they have a teach component and a learn component. And the person reached out to me right afterwards, the founder, because he saw that I went through the whole thing in one night, because I was that interested in it, because I really feel like it's something we need to do. And I'm glad that Hour of Code has got the stuff out there in code.org, but I've gone through, have you done the Star Wars one, Scott?
You know, I walk around and monitor my students. Mm-hmm.
So you've seen it enough.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Right, and so it's nothing earth-shaking, right? I mean, no offense to them, but it's nothing earth-shaking. This Code Campus with the Scratch account opened and you have your teacher educator account, it's amazing. And if you wanted to get going, it would be that low of a barrier of entry. Even if you just did the first.
That's cool. I'll have to check it out.
The first module of Code Campus is just like talking about it. So it's talk, talk, talk. Okay, we get it. But after you get down to the bottom of the second module, you're going to start creating. So you've got to have two windows open. You've got to start going. And I feel like they were making Mad Libs in this course. So you make a Mad Lib.
Cool.
With code. They even show you one where they make a presentation. So like instead of PowerPoint or Google Slides.
Is it actual like JavaScript or C++?
It's just still all the block coding. Okay, it's just the basic block. Just the basic Scratch. But once you get pretty adept with the basic Scratch, then the thing that I've found out a lot is that you either want kids to kind of move to Java or Python. That's like the next logical step. And so I've really laid out some stuff with it. And I think that what we've decided for K2 and what I'm trying to decide, and I'm trying to just sift through all this curriculum, all the curricula that's out there, is Scratch Junior and Coding with the Foos seem to be ones that are pretty good, and Tinker. that I just chose to go on the webinar. But Tinker is free to a point, but then you can get some, but sometimes maybe that's the next step. Maybe we need to go extra. And when you go into Python and you have some kids that are really superstars, then maybe you're like, okay, principal, can I have some funding for this real quick, you know? And maybe they'll shell out $199 for you.
So, John, do you have your teachers or whoever working on Bitsbox?
I don't. I just have my own subscription. I actually got – it's kind of a cool story. There were four girls – I went in and got advanced math class signed up in fourth grade yesterday on – Scratch. So I ran them through the whole thing, and these girls were really, they were like, but we want to make an app. And I said, okay, what I'm going to start you off with Bitsboxes, because I've been getting a subscription for about a year and a half now. So I have them all sitting there and they're not doing anything productive.
Well, and they have the online coding piece that walks them through building like a really basic app with basic like JavaScript.
Mm-hmm. So that's what I gave them. So I said, so it's so funny, Scott, because I didn't even know what my title, I just put them, I take my bits boxes, put them in a Ziploc bag and title them. So they have, I have all the resources together. And so I go, what do you want? And one of them wanted robots, which is the new one that I just got. One of them wanted food and one of them wanted animals. And sure enough, I was like, well, I definitely have robots. I had food and animals too. Like they have their themes are really good for Bitsbox. So I'm interested to see how that translates for them. And I said, you know what? I just gave it to him and said, this is my personal stuff, but just go to town on it and then report back to me after winter break and let's see what happens with it. I mean, the other way you could go is you could go to Swift Playgrounds, which is really cool. For you just have to have your iPads updated all the way, and that's free. Right. And then you're coding iOS apps,
if
right?
If you have iPads that update all the way.
Right, and which by the way, I do, even though I'm not supposed to, but I do what's best, and then if people yell at me, I have a reason for what I did. It's not just to be a jerk. But that's what people think a lot of times. Jerk.
John.
I know. You know what, I vow in 2017, okay, let's go.
Oh, wait, New Year's resolutions. We can't do that show yet.
You can't do it yet? In 2017...
In the year 2000.
I'm trying to get my I love that one. I'm going to try and get better at my email skills, which I really dislike email. It's a drain of my time. But I'm going to vow to get a little bit better. Greg Gardner says, don't get all the way better, please. I said, okay, I won't. Scott, I'm drinking my Bend, Oregon. You know who lives in Bend, Oregon? Mr. McNology. My hum.
Kombucha.
Kombucha. That's what I'm doing,
hey,
Scott,
John.
So that I don't get cancer. That's what I'm doing. It's supposed to prevent cancer. Kombucha.
That's awesome.
I don't know. I don't know if that's scientifically proven. I don't think it is. But it's supposed to have those bacteria that snip away. And you know then my back, look at me. I'm full of bacteria. I'm like a bacteria magnet, especially when I haven't taken a shower on a snow day. Yay. Christina Luce would laugh at our snow day as we had maybe about a quarter of an inch of snow. No, it was actually coming
so
down.
Kurt Reese, I think, too.
Yeah, no kidding, right? So anyway, so what is on your mind? Anything? All right, we're going to, you know what, people? We're going to give a disclaimer right now. Let's see. Can I give, is there a good disclaimer music? Okay, here, wait. The disclaimer bell. We are really going to try in 17 minutes to wrap this show up. If we get a grumpy old teacher's under an hour, it would be a miracle. So we're going to try. So Scott, I'm going to kick it to you since I've been talking. But that's my hour of code stuff. And I do want to say to people, tweet at me if you want, John Samuelson, without the H, of course, like I just said before, but tweet at me and I'll give you the links to all that. Code Campus is awesome. Get your Scratch Educator site account approved. It takes 24 hours. But I'm excited. We did the Scratch Educator meetup too. I did that. There was 10 nerdy teachers on a Saturday sitting at a school. One of them was the famous... Ted Rose CC. Boy, that sound effect seemed like it went a different way. It was like almost like it knew I was doing a different person for that one. But yeah, Allison Anderson organizing the thing.
You know what, John? Well,
what?
Allison is money.
Allison's money. She went to the Fits and the Tantrums concert with Action Hero two nights ago.
Those two.
You know what?
The show.
I was sitting there waiting for my invite to that show, which I would have happily gone to with them, and I'm still waiting. Thanks, Allison. Thanks for that. Why do I have to see it in a tweet that you're going to Fits and the Tantrums? I invite her to every concert I go to, which is none, because I have no life.
Hey, John, we had fun today in my class.
Did you?
We did.
Were you on the dunk tank? Was it that time of the year already?
Yeah, in Southern California. It's freezing cold here. It's like 62. Everyone's got their like snow jackets on.
Their parkas on.
Yeah, it's incredible.
And speaking of parkas, speaking of parkas, I just watched the Oasis Supersonic documentary, which I rented like a month ago, and they're like, it's going to expire. So I watched it last night. Liam Gallagher can rock a parka.
He can rock a parka.
He can. He looks good. That's one of Noel's disses towards him. He's like, I wish I could rock a parka like Liam. And I'm like, you know what? Liam can rock a parka. In the late 90s, Liam was rocking parkas big time. So anyway, okay, so what did you do that was fun and exciting today? I mean, I think you're always probably, your kids always come away with something fun and exciting.
You know, John, we actually connected with Pernille Rip's class, and we sang to them. Yeah.
Edgy Famous Gone for that.
Yes, I got it. We're doing carol, Skype caroling with classes right now. I tweeted it out. Oh, if you still want to get in on it. Just hop on into my feed and you can find the form and sign up. But yeah, we're going to be singing to David Terrio's class.
Edgy Famous Gone.
And we're going to be, well, Christina Luce, we did it last year in her class, but she she is in a different role this year. So I think 500 or 600 or 700 different classes we'll be singing to. Just kidding, John.
That's right.
We're going to be singing to.
Are you going to sing a carol? It's like, instead of all the 50 states for Mystery Skype, you're going to try and get all 50 states like with a Christmas carol?
We are going to be singing, to several different states, and it's pretty awesome. It's fun for the kids, and hopefully it's fun for the other class. Last year, you know who we sang to? We sang to Chris Widger's school, who is like one of the most amazing principals out there, doing some ridiculously awesome stuff up in Canada, eh?
That's nice.
Hey, John, I got an idea I want to run by you.
Okay. We will accept Carl Lindgrenstriker back if he gets his Canadian citizenship in America. We will. Is that the question?
This is under the heading of, if I were the head of the Department of Education for the United States. Oh,
what's her name, by the way?
That's a good question.
Okay, so here's also, now, no offense to Jeremy or Allison, but here is what happens. This is our new sound effect for the, you know, the new person. The evil head of Department of Education, not Bernie Duncan person, billionaire lady from Michigan, who is hates public education. Okay.
I think her name's like Betsy DeVos or something like that. I don't know.
It is. Like, don't speak her name three times, or else she funds more charter schools and takes money away from Title I schools.
So if I were, let's see, this whole voucher thing is really just. Well,
I know. It's Betsy DeVos. I know her name. I just try not to speak.
You know what I want? I want teacher free agency.
Teacher free agency. Now that's
teacher free agency. I want.
Let's do it.
Yeah, I mean, it works for, you know, sports. Why not for, teachers? We can't transport around, or if we do at any point in our career, we hit that 12-year, whatever they'll give you in each district, and then you're, like, just losing money. So if you were to say, like, you know, like you, John, transfer from Texas to Oregon.
Oh, gosh,
it's
yeah.
Like, you get crushed in that move.
Oh, I'm
whereas,
I'm
like,
getting
if they're teacher
so
free
crushed.
Agency, and they were like, we want John Samuelson. In fact, we're going to give him a signing bonus. And we are going to give him a moving allowance. And we are going to give him his full years or what. Like, if there was teacher free agency, he would up the game a lot, John. I think it would up the game.
Yeah, or
I'm sure there's flaws to it, but that's just, you know.
How about just as a person that has held a license in Wisconsin, Illinois, Missouri, Nevada, Alaska, Texas, and now Oregon, as a person that's held a license in all states, how about just some reciprocity for not taking dumb – how many times do I have to prove that I'm, like, literate? Seriously. Those tests, some of them, are so insulting.
John, you know what it's all about.
Yeah. It's all Pearson making the money. I had to get my test scores from Pearson. Yeah, Pearson makes money coming and going. Thanks, Betsy DeVos. Evil Secretary of Education.
Don't say her name one more time or else you can
try. I know, I've already said it twice.
Oh, John. Yeah, I'm like voting for teacher free agency.
Okay, I like it. I feel like when I came up to Oregon, I was almost like a free agent. I got a job right away.
You were definitely
a free agent. And I got a good job. A darn good job.
Yeah, you love your job.
I do love my job. I was sad today when we got a snow day. Because I was going to get work done, but now I had my whole family with me, and then it's, you know, families.
All right, John, I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
May I?
Yes, you may.
If you were to archive something, desktop something, that means you, like, really want to keep using it, or okay. Delete something forever.
Okay.
Name one thing right now. What is it from this past year that you'd either archive, you desktop, or you delete? Archive, desktop, or delete?
In education?
In education.
Okay, well, I won't go back to a certain second Tuesday in November and delete that from my memory, but because we don't like to get political here.
Somebody just tweeted at you. I don't know.
Oh, good. Okay, that's good. good. Another tweet. What are you guys talking about? Teacher's time is valuable. I don't have time to listen to these podcasts that don't say anything. I hate to always default back to standardized testing and like the. But here's where I would default to. How about just the importance of placing so much emphasis and pressure on teachers for standardized testing. How about that? Like, I don't mind, like, getting some data to assess where a student, you know.
Yeah, we need data.
On a certain day. I don't mind that. I don't mind, like, I saw some kids the other day when I was in the lab, they were doing, like, the easy CBM. And then I told them, one of the kids was kind of, like,
which, by the way, cheating. The easy CBM is really, truly easy.
Yeah, right. But I was in there and it was one of the kids I knew from the school district and they were cheating. And I looked at him and I said, "Look, you don't cheat on this. This just gives your teacher information." I'm like, "Be honest. If you don't know it, your teacher wants to know so we can help you get better and understand it." So, yeah, don't do that. And I said, "Now move two seats down." But yeah, I mean, I'll tell them why I'm doing something. But yeah, I just feel like it's ever since the importance came on it and like all schools are judged on these, you know, standardized tests that are given, like I could wake up one day and score one thing and wake up one day and score horrible the next. And it depends on everything. But right. I think ever since we started basing schools, just like their whole value on the test score, I wish we could delete that from this year and all years past and when No Child Left Behind started to come in. Because like we said before on the show, we remember what it was like before that, and it didn't used to be like that. Yeah. You would just tell kids to do a good job and then see. I would always be harsh on myself anyway, because when I looked at kids' test results, I wasn't looking to see if I still had my job. I was looking to see, like, okay, I need to do a better job teaching this subject next year. because I feel like my kids as a whole kind of fell down. I would look at individual kids, but more often for me, I would look at the class and be like, yeah. Okay, where did I make mistakes and how can I improve my game?
Yeah.
So that's mine. It's a lame answer, but I'm sticking with it.
It's our new bit, archive, desktop archive. Or delete.
Nice. I like it. Is that in the notes?
That's in the notes, John.
Nice. Speaking of notes, thanks to the one viewer that's out there. Thank you, one viewer.
Hey, thank you, one viewer. You know what I would desktop, John? I'll go the opposite direction.
Okay.
Is I am absolutely loving just taking my phone with a voice memo and recording sound prompts for my kids' writing. I absolutely love it. And I shared about this up in your district, and it's kind of my big quest this year is I love the response. The kids love it. They have to fill in the picture, the image, the words that create that image just from a sound prompt. So I just take my phone, John, like I was at the train station, recorded 30 seconds of it.
Through a train hit, spotting?
Hit the button, yeah. Speaking of Ewan McGregor.
Yeah.
And just email it to my school email, and then it's right there on my desktop, just a little MP3 file that I can just play for the kids, and they get inspired by it, and they try to figure out where it is. And it's created some really incredible descriptive writing.
I want you to give them – all right, can you give them one for me?
Yeah.
A sound prompt? I want that one. And let's see what they come up with.
Yeah. They're going to come up with Jeremy McDonald.
That's right. I mean, there we go. Mr. McNology. Now Mr. McNology will be sad. He's like, why am I the same as the Secretary of Education whose name shall not be spoken?
Not one more time.
Not one more time, or else she'll appear and then she'll be like, oh, you know what? We are tying your evaluation to the test scores, and boop, you'd be gone. Okay, Scott, you know what? While you started yours, we actually lost the one viewer that we had. But now we bumped up to two.
Oh, they went to tell somebody. They brought a friend back.
I think my wife just went on.
Hi, Marnie.
You know that Marnie last time, for the last show on Grumpy Old Thanksgiving, I was like, what's taking her so long? She was actually just watching it in the car, like right over yonder there. And then when I was talking smack about her. And so then she's like, and by the way, I don't like that smack talking.
It wasn't that bad. I mean, it was really honest. It was about Star Wars and how dare she not have seen the Empire Strikes Back.
Would
anyone disagree with that comment?
No. How can you not have been? How can you be as old as she is? And she's getting old, by the way. I mean, I'm going to be old. But how can you not have seen Empire Strikes Back? So speaking of Empire.
You like our new bit, John?
I do like that new bit. That's a good one.
Archive, desktop, or delete. You can hashtag
it. We just need some theme music with it.
Hashtag it, archive, desktop, delete, and then put what you would do. What would you archive, desktop, or delete from this year in education or any time in education, actually, John?
There we go.
We got to write a book on this. Archive, desktop, and delete.
Okay, let's do it. Wait, I'm going to write that down. Archive, desktop, delete. Making your life simpler. That would be the subtitle. Take steps to make your life better. Take steps to make your teaching better.
John, I want to give a preview on upcoming shows for those two listeners or viewers.
Okay,
we are going to be making predictions for 2017.
Okay.
And we're going to be predicting who will be the next wave of edufamous individuals. So we're going to be naming names of who we think is going to be edufamous. So you can look out for them and follow them on
the Twitters. Is that on the Bedley Brothers?
No.
That's on our show?
That's on here, yeah.
Okay. I like that. I can do the picks to click. I can remember many of them have been on Techlandia.
Yep.
When they were just little.
Again. You know,
little
Techlandia bumps work for everybody but me, John.
Yeah, it didn't work for me either. What's going on? That's okay.
I just checked my Twitter followers. I went down by 1,000.
Did you really?
In the time that I've been on the show right now.
Well, that's because you keep switching accounts. If you combine them all together. You know, that might be a thing.
I have a thousand.
You'd have a thousand. Well, so in the spirit of saying that I'm going to go to concerts, and I didn't ask Allison to this concert because it's in Seattle, but we're going to Seattle for a fancy concert tomorrow, and guess who I'm going to see? Kids Bop Kids.
Wow, John.
How good is that?
That is awesome sauce, John.
Kids Bop Kids.
Sauce. Are you going to wear your Go Noodle shirt, John?
I love it. My my daughter hates that I'm taking for her birthday. She hates the fact that I want to see them sing I Love It by Charlie XCX. And she's like, they don't do that song. I don't like that one. I'm like, they do that song, and I will enjoy it when they do that. And when they do it, I'm going to sit there. I'm going to jump around. I love it.
You are. Let's get to, are you going to Facebook Live that, John? I got this feeling on a summer
day. Like they, and you know, I love Kids Bop because they take all the words and they make them kid-friendly.
Right.
They don't say I smash your, instead of saying they smash their car into the bridge, they say like, I drove your car across a bridge.
Yeah.
I parked it really nicely.
I washed your car and then I rode across right. the bridge.
We should do Kids Bop Kids lyrics to like rap songs. That would be and just be like, okay, yeah.
Like hardcore hip hop with kid lyrics. I don't think that's
walking down the street, looking around. Sipping on my high C juice, laid back.
With now my mind totally, on my Legos and my Legos on my mind.
That's right. We've totally run off the rails now. But the Hour of Code stuff has been really interesting to me, and I really think that as a district, that's one of my areas of focus is to get kind of everybody starting to go with that. And I really think Scratch, if you don't know where to start, just start with Scratch. Scratch and that Code Campus. That's my little summary right there. That's like that was like my little neat page at the end of, you know, the Innovator's Mindset with George Kuros, where he wrote about it, but then he put it on a nice little page, the summary points, so you don't have to read all the rest of it.
That's right.
By the way, I've been emailing George Kuros a lot this week. And I just want to say, he is still probably as handsome as he's always been.
Did you get him to sign the contract for the calendar yet, John?
No, he's still being very, like, I can't, I'm right. It's the perfect time to ask for the 2017 Handsome Man of EdTech. Only one I've been able to sign so far is Tim Bedley.
John, Tim said if George isn't doing it, he's not in either.
Oh, no. What if I got Mr. McNology?
John, Tony Vincent just backed out too.
Oh, no. Those are my heavy hitters right there.
Uh-oh, Carl Lingenstarker's out now, too.
I know. He was mad about that whole comment last year where I said he was just the calendar with, like, all 12 months on it at the end. Which I still think is a good joke. I laugh myself. So, anyway. Oh, Marnie snickered in the background of the thing, so that was good. She's like, yeah, you do laugh at yourself.
Thank right? you, Marnie Moose. Yeah. We do.
Thanks, Marnie. Thanks.
Yes, someone's got to laugh at us.
Right. Somebody has to laugh at us, and it might as well be me. So what do you have coming up, Scott? Okay, so we've done a good job so far of keeping Grumpies going for every other week. We've done it now three consecutive every other weeks. So what should we talk about? How do we end this with a shish, boom, bam episode?
I just have to say one thing, John.
Okay. Meetings.
Let's talk about what we're thankful for in education.
Let's talk about meetings.
Meetings.
All right. So here's one thing. Here's one thing that's driven me crazy this year.
Let's not talk about meetings.
Okay. Let's not talk about meetings. Okay. So
no, we can talk about meetings. Go ahead.
No, but let's talk about this. Meetings, I think, could be useful if they were like 20 minutes long and to the point and everybody's voice was heard a little bit or whatever, or it just kind of like got people together on the same page and then said, go be adults. But I've noticed a lot, and I've been talking a little bit this year with people, and it's like these meetings, it's almost like educators don't know what meetings really should, like, they're like in the real world where people have like real jobs where they can go out to lunch and, you know, have a couple martinis and whatever. I feel like we're almost conditioned at meetings like we're little kids. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed a lot lately that I've tried to give some people some freedom, you know, here and there, and they're like, they tense up, and I'm like, look, what's the difference if can we go off school grounds for a second and go to a Starbucks and actually just talk, but like have a cup of coffee somewhere?
Right.
And like people really think that sometimes that's so wrong. And I think that it's so wrong that they think it's so wrong, but I don't know.
We were supposed to have a team meeting this last week, and I went into my teammates, the at Jameson Luke. And my other teaching partner, Sammy, and I said, we're going to Pete's to get coffee, and we'll talk there. Mm-hmm. We just got off campus, and I just said, sometimes we just got to get off campus and see things from different perspectives to really look at things differently. I mean, when we sit in the same spot and we do the same thing for each meeting, week after week, month after month, it just – how can it not be stale, John? How can it not be stale?
Mm-hmm. I know, it just seems so strange that we're so conditioned to almost be like, this is what we have to do, and I don't know.
Well, it's a trust factor, right? If you go off campus, are you really doing your job in meeting? And so maybe there are teachers or people in the education world that would take advantage of that, which is really a bummer for the people that would still work hard and do their job and do a great job in those meetings no matter where they take place.
Mm-hmm. No, I know, and it's just something I've noticed lately, and maybe it's just because, you know, I'm an evil TOSA that doesn't have any responsibility or whatever, but I do. You know what? I find that I kind of walk the other line with it. And
I was late on that. Sorry about that.
You're late on the evil TOSA. But of the evil, I should start a chat called Evil TOSA Chat. But the thing is, I mean – I find that I do like more where I don't actually get a lunch. Like I don't ever, like it'll be 3 o'clock and I'm like, gosh, I didn't even stop for lunch or anything. I don't usually ever take like my 50. I mean, if a 50 minute break is like driving in between schools, I guess I would get like a prep time or whatever, but I don't really ever take like that kind of stuff. And I'm not saying it so you feel sorry for me, because definitely don't feel sorry for me, but I don't know. I always try and like work the other angle. And like, I feel like I'm constantly working harder to make up for the fact that there's other people out there that I think kind of just take it easy or whatever. And I don't know. I don't know. It's an interesting thing. The whole TOSA thing is still interesting to me. And a friend of mine, G Bundy, that I work with. And I think he's at G Douglas Bundy on the Twitters. But he was like, yeah, he's like, I think, John, he's like, you've been spending your years here trying to like go in and teach all these lessons. And he's like, I think you've done it and you've created a good bond with teachers now that they trust you. But he's like, now I think you need to take a step back a little bit and maybe think of how we're going to sift through and get like a bigger focus going instead of just running around all these schools teaching lessons here and there. He's like, I feel like you need to, you know, he's like, I scale it back a little bit, trying to find the balance, I guess, between teaching lessons and like not being like, you know, because I'm sure that people like you, Scott, I know I felt the same way when I was a teacher. People just sit there at the district office and like think of things and then make more work for us. And they don't really help out and they don't really know what they're doing because they've been out of the class for so long. You know, that's kind of my picture. That was my old picture of TOSAs. They were
of leadership and administration because I saw what my dad did. Mm-hmm. And it was more about being a servant leader and how do I – and I've had some great principals. My principal now is tremendous. And I feel like the ones that I see as doing a tremendous job are the ones that are trying to take down the barricades and the hurdles rather mm-hmm. than add additional barricades and hurdles of accountability that is not effective. I know there needs to be levels of accountability. I'm not saying that. But when it's all about that and it's all about putting more hurdles and barriers for you to jump, it's not making me be more impactful with my job.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I want in leadership and in support from that level is I like that servant. And, you know, if I was ever in a position, I'd be more that servant leader that I'm trying to find ways to help teachers be more impactful in what they're doing rather than finding ways for them to be held more accountable all the time.
Right. It's interesting. I know. Well, in 2017, we'll sit there. We'll see. I kind of developed my schedule a little bit differently of time I'm available so that I can make a better impact and maybe get some stuff out there. And, you know,
that's awesome.
I love teaching the lessons, but also I would like to just, I would love to like run those, you know, lunchtime clubs and things like that too.
Yeah. Just, it's a balance.
Yeah. So it's a
balance. You got to keep your foot in there and you will, you do an awesome job and
we'll see. How are you on the Hatchimals hunt? Have you been searching? Does Dean want a Hatchimal?
No, he doesn't even know what a Hatchimal is.
Okay, that's good.
He never knows.
Okay, that's good.
At he least wants Legos, sure. Every possible Lego you could ever have. If you have extra Legos out there and you want to sell them, like, yeah, me.
Go to Craigslist and sell Scott your
play
Legos.
I pay plenty of pennies on the dollar, but I'll buy them.
You know what I'm excited about for me? I've been buying, Marnie's always like, I buy myself my Christmas presents or whatever.
You buy yourself over,
Yeah, I
that's
do.
That's awesome.
I mean, what?
Does she wrap you then?
I don't need anything on Christmas. I just get it myself. All right, so I've got my, I've got four little bits kits right next to me. I'm excited to start with those.
That's awesome.
Over break.
Hey, John, real fast. I know we're almost out of time, but how is the model classroom coming?
Give us a quick model classroom has hit a huge snag, and I'll tell you why. Because
snow.
Not Snowmageddon. Snowmageddon 2016, Portland. Half inch of snow fell. The roads are icy.
Was that like the flood warnings that were happening when I was up in Oregon and everyone was freaking out?
That was the probably the biggest flood. That lasted for all of about an hour and a half. So somebody told me, and it might
by the way,
been,
John, we joke down here in California that everyone in Oregon says how it rains so much just to keep Californians from moving there.
It's true.
I know. I believe. I don't blame you.
My fathead, so I got a big 4 foot by 6 foot black dry erase board because there is somebody that said, don't get a white dry erase board. His name is Scott Bedley. He said, get a black one with neon markers. And I said, ooh, that's a good idea. It doesn't stick on the wall out there. So now I think I'm going to have to either go through and smooth out.
You have a textured wall, John?
Yeah, I guess. I've had fatheads before. I mean, we put it up in Scarlett's room, no sweat. It was, and it's kind of got this, but is there something about this kind of a textured wall where it just, it wasn't even close to getting there. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to test out. So I might have to actually smooth out all the walls.
John, two words.
Okay.
Gorilla glue.
Yeah. And that's the other thing I was thinking too. I was thinking maybe I would just, you know, do it that way. But so fat edge are so cool that way too. And they have some nice ones. So my big 4 month calendar at a glance, which I need, and my big 6 foot by 4 foot, I've got all the fixings. I've got all the neon markers for it. So that hit a snag. So we'll have to see how I solve that problem.
That's a bummer.
Otherwise it's going really well. Little bits are out there. Raspberry Pis are set up. I got the rest of my whiteboard. We're covering the bar with whiteboard.
Nice.
My daughter's been drawing on it. I even tweeted out a little picture she's been drawing. She likes to draw with them.
Cool.
Yeah, so it's going well. I invite everybody on. Maybe I'll take a Theta 360 thing, or I'll start my own Snapchat channel a la Bill Selleck and just take you on tours all the time. Because I feel like when Bill Selleck has all this money at his school, like I feel like at his
John,
school.
John, did you get the new spectacles?
No.
The Snapchat glasses?
No, I did not get
those. They're like Google Glass, except for they're for Snapchat only.
Oh, gosh. That's crazy.
You didn't get that?
No, I didn't get that one. I'll have to get those for Bill, from Bill.
It's on every Snapchatter's Christmas list. I think they only sell them in New York right now, John.
Oh, really?
But make a call.
Yeah, I can just make a call to Bill. He's like their star educator extreme. But sometimes I look at Bill's thing and I'm like, I love all the stuff he does, but he's like, today we're going on a field trip to Google. I'm like, right, because your school is loaded. I get it. Or, you know, they do all those things. I'm like, holy cow.
You love that, John?
I love that.
Snapchat. I'm a pirate.
Woo. I'm a clown. All right. Well, it was good talking to you, Scott Bedley.
Good talking to you too, Johnny.
Marnie says goodbye as well.
Peace out, Marnie.
And yeah, we'll try again. Do we get one in before the 2 weeks? Do we get one more Techlandia
grumpy old teacher? I certainly hope so, John.
How am I going to get a Techlandia?
It's been in high demand.
I can't get Techlandia like the last. I can't get the Amy and David crew going. They seem like they're just kind of like, we're tired, we're done. I can't get them going. Need to get them going. That's for David Terrio, who's probably the one viewer too. By the way, it's not David. I'm not worried about David. I'm worried about Amy.
If the Q&A worked on this, I would be responding to your questions. But it doesn't work.
Anyway, well, thanks for listening, everybody. We don't know what's coming next, but we do know we'll have a Grumpy Old Teachers, and we know that once we start out the new year, we will start out with the Teaching in Beta podcast. Right now, and let's do this real quick, Scott. We'll actually do a promo. Ready? Here's a little 30-second promo. I will also work on. We have the GrumpyOldTeachers.com website coming soon.
Woo!
We don't know what we're going to put there, but we'll put episodes of Grumpy Old Teachers. And we'll probably, you know what I was thinking for that one? Like the big, like, mock-up page, like it'd be the picture of the Bedley brothers. But then I was just going to Photoshop my face over Tim Bedley's so I could lose like 150 pounds.
We are.
And gain muscle mass too.
We are going to be selling Grumpy Old Teacher t-shirts, and the funds will go to fund some donors choose for those who want to like, go out and do something fun.
That's right. I think we'll do stickers for sure.
Definitely stickers.
But yeah, no, so we do have the grumpyoldteacherswebsite.com, and we'll get that up pretty soon. And I think it's going to be a nice little Weebly. I'm just going to do a nice, quiet little Weebly website. Put the Twitter feed on the side. Do we even have a Twitter feed? No. Maybe we need to make one.
Look
for that, people. That is serious. We are going to put up grumpyoldteachers.com, and I don't know, but you can go there for all your grump news. Maybe we'll get Scott to do some updates or Periscope or something from his classroom. Put him up there. Would you Periscope from your classroom, Scott?
No.
I don't blame you. I wouldn't either. All right, that's cool. And we will catch everyone on the flip side. You have been listening to Techlandia, a member of the Education Podcast Network. For more great content, please visit techlandiaradio.com and edupodcastnetwork.com.